are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. This is Brian Kilby. It is, what is it today? Today is, it's Tuesday? Is it Tuesday already? July 28th. I'm actually trusting my calendar here in my Windows 7 release candidate 1. I just double-clicked the corner, and it is July 28th, 2009. And again, like I said, you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. I'm Brian Kilby, and with me again this week, I have JD Church. Hey, JD, how's it going?
It's going good, sir. How are you?
Oh, I am awesome. I got rained on mowing the yard, or the lawn, or whatever, you know, colloquially people call it in whatever area. You know, I live in the South in the United States where, and I have a large lawn and it's a pain in the butt to mow. It started raining 3/4 of the way through it. So I was so close. I just kept doing it. So I'm soaked right now.
Lovely.
Yes.
Lovely, sir. Great. Wanted to mention it's the 28th of July. Of course, this day in Transformers history, 2000 would have been the opening of BotCon 2000. Notable guest Ian Corlett was there, Alec Willows. Major introduction from that convention, Ape Link. Who went on to star in many of the subsequent BotCon releases and actually got a second figure release as Hyperlink. So there you go.
Okay, so that's pretty sweet. BotCon 2000. Actually, I was not at BotCon 2000. My first BotCon was 2001, so I did miss BotCon 2000. But I do remember arguing with someone on Alt Toys Transformers many moons ago that Ape Link was a good name, as well as Shockeract. So that was Sky Shadow. Sky Shadow and I made friends after that, but it was a little rough. But that was many years ago. Let's see here. This week on RFC, we have a review of Dune Runner from Revenge of the Fallen. That is by our buddy Rob Springer, Robbo Rob. Rob, he reviews Dune Runner. And JD and I will actually talk about something. You know, I said many moons ago, had to mow the lawn, have a house. I am an adult, 30 years old. And I am a robot nerd. I collect toys. And I've been doing this now for 10 years. When I started, I was barely an adult. As I said before, I was a wee lad. But now squarely in the adult category. And reconciling being an adult and a Transformers fan, or a toy fan in general, you know, it's not always the easiest thing. But hopefully with our little talk, we'll be able to help you out, you know, in that quandary. If you are listening through our website, which is tfradio.net, you'll notice a couple changes. The interim page that I built, or that we built, that of course I paid several hundred dollars to have someone else build that, because of course I don't do such things. We paid several hundred dollars. That is gone, and now tfradio.net actually just resolves to briankilby.com/podcast. That's actually the way I had it prior to actually bringing RFC back. When it boils down to it, I'm just too cheap to pay for two hosts. So tfradio.net now resolves to briankilby.com/podcast. And because of that, there's a couple more changes. The feed that you are listening to this through, if you are listening to it through an RSS reader or through iTunes or one of the many other technical mumbo-jumbo things out there where people listen to such things, we will only be posting the new shows. I know that sounds strange, but we're only posting new shows. The RFC archive is no longer available on iTunes. It's just going back to the June 2009 broadcast. Those old shows are still up at tfradio.net. Click on the archive link there on the left, and you will see every single RFC going back to 1999. Even the first one that I actually never really even posted, because my friend Jason, and if you're a longtime listener, you'll remember the infamous episode where Jason Tron showed up. My friend Jason described that as 9 minutes of his life he wished he could get back. But, you know, I was learning. It was the 90s. It was crazy. I was just hitting puberty. And So, also, I wanted to mention, did you, JD, check out it's San Diego Comic-Con. For some reason, this is now big. I mean, it was always the biggest comic convention in the country.
Yeah.
But people care about this now. It doesn't make any sense to me. But
well, yeah, and I there's reasons for that, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was cool a couple years ago when they debuted the Iron Man trailer, and that's really when I realized that people other than comic fans cared. But I was going to ASMZine.com. That's our buddy Skyjammer. Does Phil even go by Skyjammer anymore? But it's our buddy Phil's fanzine, ASMZine.net or .com. Probably both, but ASMZine.com, and they had scores of pictures from the Hasbro panel and scores of Transformers pictures, and there were quite a few there that I was pretty much taken with, primarily Transformers Animated Blackout. I think that's awesome. I don't think it's necessarily the best toy from Animated, but it's one I just didn't expect. I mean, of all characters, Blackout to pop up in Transformers Animated, I thought that was pretty cool. But if you've never actually saw pictures of Rodimus Minor or RC, which, you know, Hasbro saying that they are going to continue in some capacity with the Transformers Animated toy line, I really hope that those make it out. But Bludgeon was super cool. Blackout was super cool. But from the new line, the one that shocked me the most was Bludgeon, Revenge of the Fallen Bludgeon. He looks awesome. Did you actually, JD, get to see the picture of Bludgeon?
Yeah, I looked at it. It looks good. The only downside is the only picture. Well, the pictures that I saw were really early, so they're not real clear. They're not like they're not the real high res. So it looks good from what I saw. But yeah, like you, I'm surprised that they're putting that out. Although I will say the only downside is that it was really hard to tell the difference between what was an animated and what was a movie, and I don't know why that was.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
But I was really excited when I saw, especially extending the animated line. I was really afraid that they would just go ahead and nix it once the show was over.
I absolutely, totally love animated, and I'm glad that, as well as you are, that they are not killing that completely. I mean, the people at Hasbro know that their core fans really do love animated.
No, and Hasbro's been running usually at least two lines concurrently. They're running the film, or more,
oh,
yeah.
Oh my goodness. So, let's see here. We had, at one point, like, Alternators, Universe, Energon. There was something else too. I mean, I think at one point in like 2002, 2003, they were running five concurrent lines, and that was just insane.
Yeah, that was almost too much. But right now, I mean, animated is still popular. It still has, you know, it still has a certain amount of popularity, especially with kids. And the movie line, I'm surprised at how well the movie line is doing. I was at Walmart today, and other than the peg warmers, there was nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Wheelie and Chromia, and that was it.
I live, I don't have much going on where I live, so Walmart is pretty much the center of the universe, and there are many Walmarts in my area which are orbiting each other, but they, my nearest Walmart, there are quite a few toys just sort of sitting there, but the Walmart just down the road, it's a total sellout. But also with the G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra figures, which look terrible, they are also sold out there. And here they are all peg warmers. So,
But like I said, I was actually surprised. I thought that some of the movie characters wouldn't sell as well, but looks like it's doing good. So, yay. Anything that keeps Hasbro going, I'm happy.
Oh,
so.
Totally. Even if it's G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra.
Yeah.
Did you, I don't know if I asked you this, and of course this is Radio Free Cybertron, where the Transformers Internet radio show, so on and so forth, but the man can't live on Transformers alone. Did you watch G.I. Joe Resolute, the Warren Ellis scripted web series, by chance?
I think they were showing it on something.
They were showing it on Cartoon Network as well.
Yeah, I started to watch it, and then, I don't know, the oven caught on fire or something, and I didn't end up finishing it. It looked like it was starting all right.
Oh, dude, I absolutely, totally, unbelievably hated it. And I just wanted to mention that. I'm probably going to tick some people off, but I thought it was an abomination. I understand Hasbro wanting to, you know, occasionally produce something that's kind of mature. But when they opened up Bazooka's mouth and there was a note within that Storm Shadow placed there after, you know, he was dead, that's that was just a little much. I mean, even the G.I. Joe comic wasn't that graphic, and it's
I have to say I did see that part, and I was surprised that they went there. I mean, I wasn't completely turned off by it, but yeah, and I could, and because I was, and I, to be honest, I was not a real big fan of G.I. Joe, so I'm certainly not as partial to it, and so I can appreciate where, you know, if that were a favorite Transformers character of mine, I would be devastated.
Oh yeah, I love me some G.I. Joe. Had things gone just a tad differently, this could be a radio-free G.I. Joe. So, no.
It's going to be Real American Hero Underground.
Yeah, but no, seriously, I love G.I. Joe, and I really, 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 really hated Resolute. Especially, the toys are actually pretty cool, but I really hated the episode where Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow faced off. I laughed through it, and I actually got flamed because I was posting my comments on YouTube because I have nothing better to do. And I was the lone voice of, in my estimation, reason, stating that it was crap, and apparently I made lots of enemies, and I'm never allowed on YouTube again. So, okay. We're going to go ahead and go to Rob Springer. Rob has the review of Dune Runner, and we will join thereafter, and we'll discuss reconciling being an adult and a Transformers fan. Take it away, Rob.
Hey, this is Rob from Radio Free Cybertron, and today I'm going to review Dune Runner from the Revenge of the Fallen toy line. Dune Runner is an Autobot in a Scout class size, which kind of throws me off a little because I'm always expecting to say basics still, but they're Scouts now. One thing I'd like to kind of point out in his bio, it kind of shows the information that Cybertron, or at least the movie for Cybertron, is mostly flat roads with like texture just for speed and traction, which leads for Dune Runner to not necessarily like his new alt mode, which is a dune buggy. I guess on Cybertron you turn into some sort of little hovercraft or basic car or whatever. But also the bio points out that he appreciates it because of the rough terrain on Earth, that he has to go through like deserts and mountains and stuff to fight Decepticons. I thought that was a pretty fun little bio. His robot... You know, he's packaged in robot mode, which when you take out a package, the first thing I noticed, he had kind of awkward legs and arms. By the way, they're articulated, like it's just kind of a little frustrating, and he's a little loose in his robot mode. However, he's also, like, really articulated. Like, for a basic, he has a ton of just a huge range of movement, which is kind of crazy to me. He has on his shoulders cannons. They're like Gatling gun style cannons that they're even articulated. Like, you can move them all around and such to, you can't really swivel them, but they're like on a little arm, and you can move them forward, back some. You can adjust them a little. It's pretty neat. It's kind of weird. Some of his robot parts are like a light blue. Like, most notably his arms, the little connectors for the shoulder guns. And there's a little chest piece underneath his chest where the roof of the dune buggy folds over to make his chest. That's painted the same light blue, which is kind of a nice paint out there for a basic. You know, figured they might as well skip it since it's completely covered up. But, you know, it looks good considering the rest of the robot is like that dark olive military green with coppers and silvers as accent color, so the blue doesn't really clash too bad. It doesn't look too shabby with it. And it's just transformation's really easy. He basically swivel the hips around, fold the toes down, connect his legs to make the front of the dune buggy. his arms kind of fold up to the side of him to form the sides. It all just kind of snaps together nicely, and the hood folds down, the guns fold down. It's easy enough. I mean, when you see it, you're like, wow, you gave it more steps than it really has. It's a really simple transformation, but a convincing one, because, you know, it holds together really well. I mean, in some Transformers, when they're in their vehicle mode, you can touch them wrong way and parts will snap out or whatever. Well, not with Dune Runner. His Dune Buggy modes really, it really holds together well, and it rolls well too, which sounds silly, but not all your car-based Transformers roll very well in Transformer mode. There's usually something dragging or whatever, but this thing, no, it rolls right around. This Dune Buggy's really solid. I mean, it's a great little toy. One thing I thought was neat is, I'm trying to figure out what this means, because ever since Onslaught from Universe, I'm always looking at these little numbers on the side of my Transformers to see if maybe there's a meaning or whatever. And there's a 0318, which is right next to the Autobot symbol. I'm not sure what it could mean. Might not mean anything, but I'm really kind of curious. And the Autobot symbol is more of a military-themed one, I guess, to play into the whole Nest thing from the Transformers movies. It's a nice looking symbol. It's nice. It's not the same plain old thing we're used to, but I probably wouldn't mind a plain Autobot symbol somewhere on his body. I believe he had one on his chest. Let me take a look at him. Yeah, he has one on his chest, but, you know, I wouldn't mind one on the vehicle mode, but then again, he's in disguise, and I always say, hey, how's he in disguise with the, it's just in large letters on the side. Hey, I'm an Autobot. Well, this way it's a little more disguised, so I guess I kind of, you know, it's neat. It's I'll shut up. the shoulder cannons, they carry over into the Dune Buggy design by folding over, making kind of nice top-mounted Gatling gun-like cannons. And you can still move them around, raise them, lower them, move them kind of to the side a little. It doesn't swivel, but, you know, it's a basic, so your articulation's really limited. But overall, it's really, the Dune Buggy mode almost makes up for the kind of awkward articulation and just awkward looseness in the robot mode, which isn't really saying everything. I'm not trying to condemn the robot mode, because the robot mode's a fun robot mode. It's just those little parts kind of detract from it a little bit. And like I said, he's got the more clear Autobot symbol that shows in his chest mode more than you would notice in the Dune Buggy mode, which even though I believe it's on the roof, but it all plays well into the whole design, aesthetic, and everything, and actually kind of makes a point to hide that, hey, there's an Autobot rolling down the street, as opposed to just some, well, I guess military Dune Buggy would raise a little suspicion anyway. You know, he's, and really, he's like, my overall thoughts on that Dune Runner is, you know, like I said, robot modes, it's a little bit of a mess with the articulation's a little awkward in some places, not to the point of really killing the toy, but just kind of weird. But my biggest part is some of the stuff in robot mode doesn't really hold together well. Like, he's got those weird arms like Transmog Waspinator had and Energon Starscream had, where they're on like a panel that doesn't really attach to anything. It just kind of hangs loose. And I hate that. No. And he's got this too. And these whole chest and upper torso area doesn't really snap together too well. He's very easy to unfold by accident, just fiddling with. So really, it could be a little bit more tight there. Maybe a little peg or something to hold everything in. I don't know. I'm sure if it was a deluxe, it would have these features, I would hope. But like I said, the car is just great. So the car kind of makes up some for the looseness in the robot form. You know, speaking of saying if he was a deluxe, he kind of reminds me a bit of Landmine. I think it was Landmine. The guy from the last movie toy line from 07, I think he came out in early 08, he turned into a Dune Buggy. And they're kind of similar in colors and overall theming. I mean, they're drastically different enough, but they both kind of, he kind of reminds me of Landmine a little bit. which I was thinking he when I first saw him, like, he makes me think of Captain Gridiron from G.I. Joe, and that's really just because he makes me think of Landmine, who also made me think of Captain Gridiron from G.I. Joe. I think that's really just the colors with the big guns and the helmet style, just something about it. I might be mixed remembering things too. You know, sometimes you'll remember things one way and you'll later realize you were completely wrong. And with Transformers, I'm not really that way too often, but G.I. Joe, sometimes I'll remember one guy, it's another guy, but I think and I swear that it's Captain Gridiron these two guys remind me of. You know, I wouldn't also, in some sort of fiction, whatever, if you've got room in maybe a comics or a prose fiction or whatever, maybe these two could be some sort of team or whatever, seeing that they're so similar looking. Like, I don't know, maybe they're just like, hey, they could be they grunts for the Autobots, just the background soldiers. Or who knows, maybe they could have characterization. But we all know with the movie universe, only really the main characters tend to get the most characterization. And even that, unless you're Shia LaBeouf or whatever his name is, some little Autobots probably not getting... Well, no, the comics. The comics from the last movie gave robots more star time, so maybe they could... work him and Landmine in somewhere. I'd like that. I really liked Landmine a lot better, but like I said, I kind of, when I picked him up, I envisioned him as like Landmine's little partner or something, like Red Alert was to Inferno in G1. The colors are really cool. He's got the whole military greens, like I said before, with little touches of light blue, and there's black, a lot of black. Not just the tires, but like, say, the whole lower torso in robot mode is, what do we call it, midsection and legs are black. And, you know, he's got roll bars and stuff from the buggy mode that carries over to his robot mode to add the whole aesthetic. And then you got your little accenting silvers and sort of a coppery, bronzy color metallics, darker colored metallics for accents and whatever. Little yellow on for like high headlights and stuff, a little bit of red brake lights, you know, fair enough colors for the vehicle mode, carries over robot mode. Well, he looks like a soldier. Like I said before, in his robot mode, he has a little plate that's painted a light metallic blue. That's kind of funny because it's a nice little touch of color on an otherwise kind of dark mold, but it's hidden completely. You only notice it when you transform it, so it's kind of a wonder why they didn't put the paint out there somewhere more noticeable. But you know, like I said, it's nice when he's transforming. The blue, the metallic blue on the arms and the little pieces hold the gun racks are nice. You'd figure a light metallic blue color would distract some from all these dark military tones, but no, they really, really goes well over and all. Really happy with it all, color-wise. One thing is in his robot mode, he's proportioned similar to older mini cars. I say that as like a Bumblebees and Goldbug. I know, same character, but it was a different toy. Cliffjumper. Toys of that nature where, like, the roof of the Spy Changers and G2 GoBots, like the roof of the car would make the chest and the front end would become the legs and the sides would be the arms. He's got that similar proportions, and, you know, I would almost wouldn't mind seeing this toy redecoed or remade or whatever into, say, like, Grease Pit or Wars or, you know, one of those guys. You know, not another Bumblebee, he's got lord enough toys, but one of those guys with similar proportions, I think it could work. I would say Wars from Robots in Disguise, but that name's a little too punny for this figure. Maybe someone like Rev or someone like that. What was his name? X-Car? Yeah. Overall, if I was going to give this toy a number rating, which I usually don't, but I think I'm going to start trying to do, I'd say maybe a 6, 7, somewhere around there. Like, he's average, maybe a little better than average. Mainly because, you know, the pros, like I said, the nice color scheme. The robot's neat. It's neat. And the vehicle mode is, it's just solid. I mean, that's a really good vehicle mode for a basic. But, you know, like I said, with the neat robot, the awkward articulation and those loose parts that don't hold together well, they kind of go against it some. You know, overall, he's a decent toy at the Scout class. he's not amazing, but he's a good Transformer. He's a solid Transformer. So if you're going to buy a guy and you want to buy someone who's not another established character like Ironhide or Ratchet or Starscream, you want to buy someone who's kind of a new character, or at least a character hasn't been run to death, you know, and you, a basic classic toy or whatever, he's going to be a good choice. Are there better toys out there? Yeah. Are there worse toys out there? Oh, hell yeah. But, yeah, you got to what are basics now? $7-$8? You know, it used to be, what, $5-$6? But, you want to buy yourself a basic? You're not going to really go wrong with Dune Runner. You could do better, but you could do a lot worse. He's good. He's a good toy. That's really all I can really say about him. Like I said, just a good, middle-of-the-line quality, basic Scouts Clash Transformer. Well, this is Rob for Radio Free Cybertron. I'll turn it back over to Brian. Thanks.
And thank you there, Rob. Yeah, I don't even know which one Dune Runner is. I feel
it's bad. It's the one that's like the buggies that they ride around in the movie. The combat buggies.
When I think of combat buggies and riding around, I'm thinking, for some strange reason, of Star Trek. What is it? Insurrection.
Insurrection. Yeah.
When they're or is it Nemesis? I can't remember.
Oh no! You're right.
They're both terrible.
The last one. Yeah.
They're both terrible. Insurrection's only marginally better than Nemesis, but it's just Captain Picard is just smiling like he's having the grandest time while they're pursuing those aliens and on the dune buggy. I don't know why the Enterprise has a dune buggy, but it does. Oh well, that's neither here nor there. So we wanted to talk about reconciling Transformers, being a Transformers fan now in our early 30s with, you know. So, let's go back to the past. And tell me how closely this mirrors, you know, you. Okay. For me, the way I got back into Transformers, because I was actually a dyed-in-the-wool G.I. Joe fan. I thought that I would never really collect any kind of toy other than G.I. Joe. I actually, in my sophomore year of high school, which would have been 1996, not my sophomore, my junior, I had to pick a decade and do like a diorama and so on and so forth. And, of course, I picked the 1980s, being a child of the 80s. All the hippie kids wanted to do the 60s, and, you know, I lucked out and got the 80s. So, actually, on our big projection system at school, I had, like, the most bombastic, stupid episode of the A-Team running. So that was in a loop, and that was really fun to watch. I had quotes from Ronald Reagan, and I went out to my storage building, and I had about 30 Transformers just sitting there in storage that I really hadn't thought about in years. And I pulled them out, and I'm like, you know, these aren't that bad. But, you know, it just really didn't strike me as, you know, I didn't realize when I did that I would be here today. But I had the diorama, put it up, got an A, had the best one in the class, got them home, and I intended to put them back into the storage, and I just couldn't do it. I pulled out this bootleg tape that I had of Transformers the Movie, and I watched it. And I watched Transformers the Movie probably once or twice a day for about a month. And keep in mind, you know, I am a noted Transformers the Movie hater, but and I don't hate it, but it's crap. But I watched it once or twice a day because it's all I had, that and a tape, a copy of Roll for it, but I really didn't care about that. But I found the internet, and the first website I found was the Transformers Collector, and that's an old. You remember the Transformers Collector? It was on GeoCities.
No. Well, that wasn't the first set that I found. I might remember it, but not real clearly.
I don't know. It's really interesting. I found a lot of websites out there from people like Anthony Tony Fitzbrucalli and Rob Powers and so on and so forth. I'm like, oh, these people sound cool. actually, no, I said these people are total nerds. But I'm like, I kept seeing these references to Altoids Transformers. I'm like, I don't know what that is. So I typed in Altoids Transformers in the Netscape 3.2, and it gave me a 404. Of course, at that point, I didn't know what a 404 was. So this was that would have been 97. But I read the Transformers Collector and saw, hey, there is a lot more to Transformers than just these toys that I have here. About a year later, I got internet access at home, and I finally figured out how to get on Usenet. And on Usenet, I found all these people that fast forward 10 years, I actually know now and happen to be friends with in like real life, not just internet friends. So, people like Hooper X, who at that point was MR0. I actually went to his wedding last year. Last year. He came to mine last year. I mean, I see Hoop every so often. Rob Powers, I see Rob at BotCon. I don't know that I've ever saw Rob outside of BotCon. Anthony Bercalli, he's the proprietor of TFU.info. I saw Anthony last year. I don't know that he knows this, but I'm shooting to go see Recharge, Gabe Owens, here in about a month. But all these people were on Altoids Transformers, and here now, I know them all. But I spent a lot of time just reading Altoids Transformers. I mean, I didn't have a lot to do. I was a sort of a stay-at-home kid. I was a homebody, so I probably spent 2 hours a day reading, Altoids Transformers, chatting on IRC, and posting to my really archaic prototype website. And I really had nothing but free time, and I put it all into being a Transformers fan. And if it wasn't for that verve, that just energy that I had, I wouldn't be here today. But being that, I'm 30 years old, and now I'm married, I have a home, I have responsibilities, I just don't have the time to do it.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I started out. I mean, when I first got in, I mean, here's what happened. When I was a kid, I got to about like 12 or 13, and I gave away my entire Transformers collection. Just
your entire collection.
Everything. So, and I had an Ultra Magnus, Power Master Optimus Prime. I had stuff going back to G1, Complete Jazz, the like first year of Jazz and a bunch of other stuff. And I just gave it all away. I just said, I don't even want it. Gave it to a cousin of mine. And they sold it, I think, at a garage sale or something.
Lovely.
Yeah, so my entire childhood collection was long gone. And I got into high school and started working at Walmart, and we were looking at, I had a friend of mine that was into Star Wars, and it was about the same time that like Power of the Force or whatever it was, the first line of Star Wars stuff came out. I got some of those figures, but I also saw the Beast Wars stuff. So I got an Air Razor, and I think I got a Manterra. And it wasn't until like my first year of college that I realized that these things were Transformers. And just because I'm slow and I just didn't do the research. All I had seen on it was Beast Wars. And so the first summer that I was in college, I got a sweet gig as a web designer back in the days when all you had to do was know a little HTML. At a Votech vocational school that my mom worked at, and I would be there 6 hours a day working, and by working I meant I spent 1 hour a day actually coding things for the website, and then 5 hours a day looking at Dave Van Domlian's site, DVD site, Benson Yee's site, downloading comics, just looking through all the Transformer stuff. I think it was through there I eventually found ATT. And of course, when I was in college, my parents were paying for a lot of stuff, but I also worked. So I had more money than I knew what to do with. And I spent every dime I had and many I didn't on toy collecting, which is actually where I met Heath, because there was a local store in Oklahoma City called Toybase 10. And the very first day that I went to that store, which was a second market toy collector store, had everything you could ever imagine. First day that I went to the store, Heath came in. And for those of you who recall, Heath was part of Cold Hard Slag. And so that's how I got in with them, and rest was history from there. But I mean, there was nothing that I didn't want that I didn't end up getting. I had I ordered the God Ginray when that came out. I had all the car robot stuff when it first came out in Japan instead of waiting until it came to the US.
Oh, I totally waited.
Yeah, no, I was not that smart. So I had all of that stuff, and again, I had more money than I had since.
Oh yeah, me too.
So,
actually, I just looked, and the Transformers collector. I'm going to put this in, on the blog, but it's geocities.com/tilda, SPIDA1, geocities.com/tilda, SPIDA1. Yeah, so. Dude, I calculated years ago. This was, I was working a part time job in radio. This is, I had, you know, I was making $200 every couple weeks. I don't know how, but I spent more money on Transformers than I took in. I think I, over the course of my first 3 years, really actively in the hobby, I spent $7,000, $8,000, $9,000
mm-hmm.
on Transformers. I calculated at one point after like 5 years, I had spent $30,000 on my collection.
Ooh.
Now I spend a couple hundred bucks a year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, if that, I mean, and that's just because my wife and I have been going through financially a rough spot.
That's because I have a wife, and I, you know, by virtue of that, it's all a financial rough spot.
Yeah. A good example of that is for the first year or so that my wife and I were married, she would go away for the summer or go away for certain times because she's an actor. So she would, you know, get a summer sock show or something, and she would be gone. And in fact, it was when she was in Cherokee, North Carolina for the summer that the first live action film came out in 2007. And so without having a referee, I waited outside Target for the day that they were releasing the movie toys, and went in and bought like one of everything.
Holy crap.
That was there. Yeah, she was not real happy about that. but yeah, since then, yeah, she's put quite the kibosh on buying stuff without authorization.
Yeah, actually, right at the point of getting married is when Transformers Animated came out, and we were all still, you know, lovey-dovey and happy, and I bought everything that came out with Animated, and, you know, that was cool. But no, I think I bought all of, like, three movie toys from the first movie, and so far I've bought Sideswipe, and I don't know that I'm going to buy anything else. You were talking about Beast Wars. And you mentioned Air Razor. Air Razor is actually my first Beast Wars toy. And I remember on All Toys Transformers, I really hadn't gotten into Beast Wars. I was one of those, I wasn't Beast Wars sucks, one of the Beast Wars sucks kids. Mm-hmm. But I was one of those people that, you know, said, oh, you know, Beast Wars is, it's not the Transformers. It's not as good as, you know, the Transformers. But Cartoon Network was airing The Agenda. Actually, I think they're airing the last five episodes of season two, and each day they had an 800 number to call into to win a Beast Wars toy. I thought, okay, well, you know, I can do that. So the first day didn't win anything. I kept calling, and you know, we're sorry, but this, you know, call can, you know. I didn't win a thing. The next day, you know, I sort of cheated, and I just started dialing the number about half an hour before they were supposed to call, you know, show it on the screen. And lo and behold, I got right through. And I received, like, 6 to 8 weeks later, Air Razor and a little sheet which congratulated me on winning. And if you actually go to my Flickr page, which if you're at tfradio.net on the left, you'll see a link that says social links or whatever. Click on Flickr, and it'll take you to all my Flickr pictures. There it is. It's worn and it's beaten, but I still have it. You know, this my little congratulatory note from, you know, the Cartoon Network gods that I had Eraser, but she was awesome. I mean, I was immediately mm-hmm. impressed. You know, she didn't quite win me over, but I was immediately impressed that the toy, you know, like a limb could pop off it, and I could put it right back. You know, as a kid, with a G1, if a limb popped off, I ended up throwing it away.
Yeah, and that was the big step up for Beast Wars toys, was that they really were a lot more playable. I mean, you could be a little rougher with them than the G1 toys. But yeah, and I was the same way. I mean, I really, and of course, I didn't realize until years later or a year later or so that it was a female, but whatever.
The Japanese,
you know,
never realized it was a female.
Well, right. Yeah. Anyway. a lot of things that, because all the weird stuff they did with metals. But anyway, and like I said, even getting into it was really kind of weird. It was like a gateway drug is what it became for me, because it just got me back into that whole G1, and I've never quite come out of it as far as being a fan of Transformers. And maybe I'm really weird, because all the way through, I've still really dug everything that came out, and kind of like we talked about last week with the movie, I've found something endearing about every piece, not necessarily every show, but certainly every toy line, which is why I get into trouble with buying them, because I want them all.
Yeah, you got to catch them all. I'm obsessive. People who know me are pretty well aware of that. They're actually more aware of it than I am. Just as an example, you know, the computer always made fun of me for being fat. So over the course of a summer, I lost 170 pounds and actually ended up being pretty ripped. So, I mean, that's like 6 months.
Nice.
Yeah, I did nothing but lift weights for 3-4 hours a day. But with Transformers, I put every penny and spare thought that I had into them. While I'm not like Monzo or Scout or some of the, you know, TF Wiki people that, you know, always clean up at the BotCon trivia competitions, I prided myself in my Transformers knowledge. And, you know, now if somebody, I don't know why, but I have people that ask me, hey, who did this? Or, you know, what was that character's name? Sometimes I have to, you know, reach for a while to get it, or I may just have to reference the TF Wiki. And one thing I've noticed is that when I don't put every spare neuron into it, I lose some details. And I always thought that would bother me, but, you know, it's really not that bad. I don't have to know every single little minute detail. It's no longer information overload. And, you know, I have to focus on other things, other responsibilities. And I'm okay with that. It took me a while to realize that it would be okay, but here I am, 30 years old, and it's cool that I don't happen to know the name of the voice actor who did, you know, Six Shot's voice in Headmasters. I never knew that, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, yeah, and I think that's the thing about being an adult collector, is that I think you can still be a fan and not have to know all of those things. I you know, we're both fans. Obviously, we're contributing in our way, you know, to the fan experience. But, you know, I have to be selective about what toys I buy. I have to be selective about how much money I can spend. But that doesn't mean I can't do things or participate or budget for things that I want to watch. I mean, you know, I DVR'd every episode of Animated so that I could watch it, because I couldn't be up when it was on or wasn't around when it was on or had other things going on. You know, I read up I spend a little bit of time each day reading up on what toys are coming out or what things I want, and I use that as a guidepost for what I might want to save up for or things I might want to get instead of just buying everything. So I think, yeah, I think you can still be a fan. I think you can still have something to contribute, but it doesn't mean you have to buy everything. It doesn't mean you have to spend a lot of money, and it certainly doesn't mean you have to spend every waking moment of your life immersing yourself in it as I did, and I think you did as well.
Yeah, for me, it really ebbs and flows. I mean, like I said last week, whatever the last show was, I'll go 6 months and I won't care. Then I'll have to buy everything in the toy line and my bank account hates me for it. You know, it's only been for the last year that I actually now, on a semi-daily basis, will actually check the new. Usually I typically check the front page of the AllSpark if I want to know something. But now on Twitter, like TFW2005, they have a news feed that they post things, and I check that. So now I am pretty well informed as to what is happening in the Transformers world. But from probably 2005 through, 2008, I didn't. I mean, I was at BotCon, and might have been BotCon 2006, I was at 2006. It might have been BotCon 2006, where I actually only spent like 3 hours in the convention. The rest of the time, I actually just spent it with my friends goofing off. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, and that's great. I think that it comes back to what's great about the Transformers community, as far as like the group of us that have been around for a while, is that I think we're okay with those different levels of collecting and participation. There's no second place. Everybody's at a different level. There's all different areas to be interested in, and I think Transformer fans, regardless of negative things that have been said or negative things that have happened in the past, I still think, by and large, we're a good community of people.
Yeah, I think so. One thing I wanted to get into, one of the big concessions that you have to make, even people who aren't adults, there comes a point when your Transformers collection may be too big. You may have to make space concessions. Being married, have you had to make concessions as far as how you display your stuff and where you put it? Has that happened to you?
Yeah, and for a couple of reasons. I mean, one, because we live in a pretty small one-bedroom apartment, so we don't have a lot of room. And it's not that my wife doesn't want them to be out, but we just don't have a good place to put them. So I have a few movie characters and a few of the more recent animated and classic characters out. And I have my really big figure. So I have my G1 Scorponok and my Primus and Unicron from Armada Cybertron that Primus was from. So I have those like out, but that's about it. I have, I want to say 6 or 7 boxes, some pretty large, all in a closet, which is pretty much my entire collection, in boxes. So,
yeah, from about 2003 until last year, the bulk of my collection was boxed. My friend Matt, his now wife, then girlfriend, came to visit. This would have been 2002. My entire collection was displayed in one room. This was a huge room. But at that point, my collection was like 800 pieces. She walked in and she was scared for her life. She thought I was a psychopath. But I've got pictures of that room, and I'll be glad to share them. But now I'm looking across my office. I have, quite a few toys on the wall. But as far as loose toys being displayed, I have probably 30. That is actually a lot fewer than it sounds. I mean, 30 pieces that's sitting on 2 shelves, and that's it. A lot of my pieces are in storage bins, And I really, I have a decent sized house, but I just don't have the room for all of this stuff. I have two storage buildings, and I did have them in there, but I, you know, with the change in humidity and the heat, I mean, I do live in the South, it does get hot. I was worried that, you know, yeah, I may not be able to trust them out there. It gets me to something that my friends over the course of the past 4 or 5 years, all of them are, you know, getting married and so on, and they are running out of room, and they, two things, there are two avenues they can take. Do they put their toys in storage, or do they put them on eBay? And I'm not ashamed to admit, I've put stuff up on eBay. I've put up probably a good 30 to 40% of my collection. Sometimes it's because, you know, I just wanted some spare cash. Sometimes it's because I didn't have room. There came a point when I didn't have any room whatsoever. I was getting no enjoyment out of the toys sitting in the closet. So I put them up on eBay, or actually first I went through them, and I was able to re-experience those toys again. And it was actually kind of cool. Some of my appreciations for some toys were diminished because, you know, that sort of rose-colored lens had faded. But some of the toys I liked better, and I, you know, made the determination which ones I wanted to put up, which ones I wanted to, you know, keep, and I put them up. And you know what? I actually, at this point, I'm pretty happy about it because I was able to let some of this stuff go. And a lot of the obsession, a lot of the just manic need to collect more has gone away. Now what I have, I appreciate more, and it sort of has made me appreciate Transformers as a whole more.
Yeah, and I struggle with doing that or not. I mean, certainly financially, the situation that we're in, I'd like to sell, although unfortunately most of my collection is Beast Wars and up, and it's almost Yeah, it's all loose. So it's not going to make a lot of money versus like the value to me. I mean, part of my thing is, and going back, is that because I gave away my entire original collection, I sort of have this, you know, separation anxiety with some things. And then not only that, but midway through my collecting, I had a lot of nice G1 figures. I had a full Devastator and a couple of other figures.
Oh, full Devastator is not as nice as you remember.
Well, but I liked it, and I mean, you know, picking, what I mean? It was something that took me a long time to put together because I couldn't afford to just buy it outright. I had to, like, piece it together from several different auctions on eBay. And I got into trouble. I got a speeding ticket, and I did not have any extra money to pay it, and I had to dump a good portion of that part of my collection, the stuff I was really proudest of, because it would make the most money. I had to sell it off in order to pay for the ticket. And man, that was heartbreaking. So I don't know. I think for me, I'll probably hang on to it. One, because I just don't have as much, even for as much collecting as I did, I didn't end up with a lot of stuff. And two, I'm optimistic that someday I will have enough room to display it, and since I'm not collecting as heavy as I was, that I'll have somewhere to put it all. But I'm not saying that it won't come to that someday, that I won't sell some stuff. I don't know that I'm ready to do it now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you may never. I mean, it's totally understandable. Some people, you know, they'll never part with it, and that's okay. That's acceptable. Those people benefit from my willingness to part with the stuff. I mean, there are a couple of things I regret. Mostly some, like Megaplex, the Megatron repaint, the eHobby exclusive, the blue clone. Mm-hmm. I kind of regret that, but you know, I made my money back. I thought that I would really regret Brave Maximus because I bought Brave Maximus right when he came out, shipping and all. I think I got it from Image Anime, and I paid $140 for it. And it was a great toy, but, you know, it's kind of big, it's kind of clunky, and all he really does is sit there. And last year I sold it for $350, so I'm pretty pleased with that. I mean, he was an okay toy, but it really, it really didn't fill any sort of gap in my collection where it wasn't something that I could look back on from when I was a kid. It just happens to be a big blue robot that's a repaint of something I kind of wanted when I was 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. I had Brave, and yeah, it was cool, and yeah, it was neat to see how the whole thing worked out, but not as cool as saying having, you know, a G1 version or having the one that I really, really want, which is the Grand Maximus.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh my goodness, we've been at this for quite a while. Next week, I think we're going to pick up on something that you wanted to talk about, which was the, what would you say, aftermarket add-ons?
Yeah, like the add-on kits and different things that you can get to enhance your collection.
So something kind of like, I guess, the Masterpiece Convoy trailer and so on and so forth.
City Commander, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Cool, yeah. We can get into that next time. Let's see here. I think I got all the housekeeping stuff out of the way. If you go to tfradio.net, you'll see a different weird web page where the old RFC site was. That's gone. But one thing I did want to mention this, and I almost forgot. If you actually go to tfradio.net, it takes you to my personal website, just the podcast section. If you click on Nerd up at the top, you'll see my work in progress MAME cabinet, which is something I did obsess over for a while. But you'll also see my Transformers site, and there rests in peace somewhat all of my Transformers fan fiction that I started, you know, back in the 90s, and some of it ran through like 2000, 2001. Never managed to finish hardly anything. A lot of it had a lot of promise. A lot of it was just crap. But this week, it's like, hey, you have all this crap sitting there. You have people who actually still remember some of it. Why don't you go ahead and finish it? So I think over the next 6 months, I'm going to try to finish some of those things. In particular, I really want to flesh out the absurd crossover that I started, which was Transformers versus MASH.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's going to be classically bad. So, I'm actually reading Pride and Prejudice and Zombies right now. I'm like 3/4 of the way through it, and that's just sort of gave me an itch to finish that. So if you go to tfradio.net or heck, go to briankilby.com, find the Transformers link, you'll see all that crap there. Let's see here. Also, don't forget to join our Facebook page, because you can comment, you can yell, you can say whatever. And I know that in a second, JD wanted to cover a little bit of Transformers trivia. You can go to tfradio.net, click on the little Facebook widget, become a fan, and participate in the discussion. So I know that you wanted to wrap things up, JD, with a bit of Transformers trivia. Why don't you take it away?
Sure. All right. So I'm going to give the trivia question, and then, as Brian said, the first person to reply on the Facebook page with a link for the show, you'll get a shout out in next week's show when I reveal the answer. So this week's trivia is as thus: name the only major U.S. television Transformer character to never have any production toy made of them. Any toy whatsoever.
By Hasbro. Yeah. I know the answer now, but I didn't get it. So, but I'm not telling you. Go to tfradio.net, click on the on Facebook widget there in the bottom left, and participate in the conversation. So, I guess that's it for me. Why don't you tell the people again how to reach you, JD?
Sure. Once again, I am on the list of friends on Facebook, I should be, for RFC. You can also find me at Twitter, at twitter.com/unicronspawn. And also, if you're needing to find my Facebook page, it is facebook.com/JoelDChurch.
BrianKilby.com, Twitter.com/BKilby. There's all sorts of goodness there. My Twitter page is awesome. I put the most energy of all my social networking, and what a social network I have. I put all of that into my Twitter page. And you can also reach me at Facebook at Facebook.com/BrianKilby. Facebook.com/BrianKilby. Well, JD, thank you again for showing up. I'm surprised you came back after the thrashing that I gave you last week, but thank you very much.
Oh, no, sir. I enjoyed the thrashing.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. As did I. So, thank you for listening. If you made it all the way through, congratulations. You are now a fifth level mage, and we'll see you back next week. Yes, we are going to attempt a weekly podcast. I actually haven't done this weekly since like the summer of 2000, but I did have like nearly a year of weekly content. So tfradio.net, check us out. If you are listening on iTunes, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Search for Radio Free Cybertron, or just search for, you know, crap. We'll probably show up there too.
Leave feedback.
Yeah, leave feedback. Please do. Actually, why do we want people to leave feedback? Leave good feedback.
Yeah, leave good feedback, please.
Good feedback. Because, you know, we work hard on this, and we, like, really deserve it, and you love us as we love you. So subscribe to us, iTunes, tfradio.net, click there. You can also subscribe to us through your RSS reader. You can use Google Reader, which is a fantastic RSS reader, and you'll get us every week. Thank you, JD.
Thank you, sir.
See you all next week.